Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Coming up today on the show, we've got Must Hear Music with Billboard's deputy editor digital, Joe Lynch. As always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, and we certainly hope you do, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or a review while you're at it. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/billboardpodcasts. Okay, so today on Must Hear Music, Joe and the gang recorded a little year-end must-hear show where they talk all about everything from SZA to Selena Gomez to Priest to the XX to Lord and everything in between. And you know, in addition to this fine podcast that you're hearing, you can also hear another year-end podcast. It's our holiday spectacular on the main Mothership Pop Shop that Katie and I do. This week, we talked to the legendary Johnny Mathis all about his Christmas music and his new 68 CD box set, which is kind of insane to think about. It also doubles as a weapon. And in addition to all the crazy year-end podcasts we have, you can also visit dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and more dozens of year-end charts on Billboard.com, plus so many critics lists that the editorial staff at Billboard has put together, counting down their favorite songs and albums and moments of 2017. Plus, wait, we're not done yet. We also have an entire number ones issue of Billboard magazine that just came out. It has four different covers. It's totally cool. It's beautiful. Go check it out. Go buy a copy. You can read all about it online. Okay, I've reached the end of my year-end rant. So now it is time for Must Hear Music.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. This is our year-end 2017 edition. So on this one, my name is Joe Lynch and I'm here with Jason Lipschitz.
What's up, man?
And Lee Havens.
Hello.
You're not actually here with us.
Yeah, we should specify.
We are going to be talking about four things. We each have a four-part plan that we're going to do to attack this podcast. So we're going to talk about an album we loved from 2017, an album we thought was underappreciated this year, a song that we loved that was a big hit, and for that we're defining it as top 20 or higher on the Billboard Hot 100, and a song that we love that should have been bigger. So let's start with Lindsay. Let's start with your pick for your album you loved, which is SZA's Control.
Ooh.
Which
yes,
is a podcast favorite.
Pod fave.
Yep. And number two on Billboard's 100 best albums, 50 best albums.
50 best albums.
Of 2017.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, not at all. She cleaned up well this year. But yeah, I think we've talked about this album and the songs on it a lot on this podcast. But as a whole, I mean, this is like a crazy relatable album. I wrote about this one. I said it's like you're ashamed to say that you relate to it in a lot of ways. Just because like she's very open on this album. And I think even she was saying in early interviews, like, she had hesitations and was embarrassed about some of these songs, you know? But I think that's why it's resonating so well with people. It's just, like, SZA being SZA. It literally sounds like she's talking to a best friend, like, behind closed doors, but, you know, put it all to music.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of it?
I'll go first, Joe. Yeah, I mean, this might be my favorite album of the year. I'm not sure. I mean, I think that there's two things that really stand out about this album to me. One is the sound and how fresh it sounds. Like, it's almost like someone was like, gave SZA the challenge of completely reimagining R&B music.
Yeah.
and making it sound like breathing new life into the genre. Not that it was like it needed that, but just to approach it from a completely different standpoint and a completely unique aesthetic. I mean, my favorite song on this album is Prom, actually. And if you listen to that song and the way that it's structured, it's just so vibrant that it's there's nothing like, no gimmick about it. It's just the whole thing is just so, you know, I've never heard it before. Like, I keep returning to that song. Like it's just so fresh to me, and just, I've never heard anything like it before, which is something that's tough to say. And the other thing, the other aspect is just her personality. And Lindsay touched upon this, but you get such a full understanding of who SZA is, and she's so likable and so vulnerable, and you know, she has these little lyrical nuggets of just like, there's this one moment where she just talks about like firing up the Narcos on Netflix.
That's the exact line I was gonna say.
Yeah, and it's just like something like that is such a tiny detail, but it speaks to her. It gives you a little bit of a window inside of her life. And I really appreciate that. So yeah, Control.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said, guys said, and I think it's interesting. And I was paying attention to it when it happened and completely upset that the album hadn't come out yet. She was, just kind of disenchanted with the business. There was even like tweets that kind of hinted that she was giving up on music. So it's just wonderful. Like, a lot of times you'll see that with an artist who gets signed to a label and for whatever reason, their career just kind of gets bungled or mismanaged, or, you know, they're not happy with the way things go and they kind of just give up. But this is one of those like blessedly rare instances where you kind of hear that there's that kind of like warning, like, oh my God, is her career gonna just fizzle out before it even starts? But then the album comes out and it's incredible and it makes a big impact. And for an album that came out earlier this year, like, it kept staying in the public eye.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make a big appearance and then people forgot about it. Like, it only got more and more popular as the year went on. And, you know, and the Grammys took notice. She's nominated for Best New Artist. So it's a real success story and an exciting one. And what you were saying earlier, Jason, with, you know, it's a fresh R&B sound. And I would say I disagree a little that, like, R&B didn't need it. I mean, I think, like, the last few years have been good for R&B. But, like, I think in the last year or so we've seen like it even like kind of moved to the next level with like Khalid and SZA. Like, I think there are some artists who are like, you know, like really like pushing this into like a more interesting territory than just kind of like you rewind 10 years, like R&B was like R&B album was a very traditional affair. And I think increasingly over the past 5 years and even over the last year, especially, like, we've seen this genre get just more experimental and, you know, more pop, and it's a broader genre in a way that it wasn't a while ago.
I agree with you.
Cool. Well, Lindsay, since this is your pick, which song should we listen to off this?
Let's go with Love Galore.
Let's do it. Love
need,
Galore.
Need.
All right, SZA, Control, song is Love Galore. Fling, I said farewell. Took it well. Promise I won't cry over spilled milk. Give me a paper towel. Give me another value. Give me another hour or two. Hour with you. Why you bother me when you know you don't want me? Why you bother me when you know you got a woman? Why you hear me when you know you? All right, that was SZA's Control for an album that you love. Now let's do a Joe Lynch pick. So we've got Priest's Nothing Feels Natural. This was on our just published list of the 25 best rock albums of 2017. This came in number 2, second only to Paramore. And
I demand a recount. I like this more than the Paramore, but
same.
I know I like this much more than the Paramore too, but you know,
you can't top Chris Payne's Paramore love.
Yeah, you can't talk Paramore about with Chris Payne, you know, logically. They're pretty much his alpha and omega, his everything. But anyways, so Priest's album, Nothing Feels Natural, this is their proper debut. They are a Washington, D.C. punk band. They are very political. There's a lengthy history of, you know, leftist political Washington, D.C. punk bands. But even in spite of that, like, this is still somehow fresh for, like, a rock album in 2017, which is a year when rock isn't exactly at the forefront of anyone's mind. DC punk, you know, certainly is more associated with the 1980s than the 2010s. But somehow this is just, it's so good and so relevant that it just kind of transcends what's going on right now in rock or politics. It's just the musicianship is like insanely tight. You know, it like goes between kind of like surf rock to funk to dance punk to a little freeform jazz. There's a lot of saxophone on this album, which sounds very much like the saxophonist on the Stooges Funhouse in the 70s, which is a classic saxophone hard rock combo. It's just a really, it's a thrilling, funny album.
And there's some really clever lyrics on this album. The lead singer, Katie Alice Greer, you know, they're a punk band, so there's going to be a lot of consumerism parodies. She has a great line that I thought I was a cowboy because I smoked Reds, specifically meaning like Marlboro Reds, just kind of like these kind of sly, like sneering lines, making fun of the idea that you use a product and then you become a certain kind of person and yada, yada. But Jason, what did you think about this one?
I love the Priest album. I think that you captured it great, or you captured that kind of balance between genre really well. And I just, you know, the only thing I can add is that they're such a great live band, and Katie Alice Greer has incredible vocals. So I definitely recommend seeing them live. But I think they kind of capture that energy on the album, and it's definitely one of my favorites for the year.
Solid one. What about you, Lindsay? Are you a fan?
I actually was not. I didn't even know about Priest until you sent us your picks for the year-end podcast.
What?
I know. Pretty crazy. I'm not really sure how I missed them because
they didn't have
it's like right up my alley.
They didn't have a hit single on
oof,
pop radio.
Ouch.
That you know, was in like
an Apple commercial.
An Apple commercial, yeah.
Well, they also haven't done any Jack White like studio sessions
yet. Oh yeah, they're not
that's
on
Third Man.
Man
yeah.
Yeah. Well, that explains how I missed them then. But thank you for the introduction, Joe. I'm definitely a big fan. I thought this album was really great. I love punk rock, and oftentimes one of the things that I hate the most is how short the songs are. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really cool. Like, I think their opening track is 5 minutes or something. You know, it's like a very full, but like full force punk rock album, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a really good balance between kind of longer ideas and then, but you also in the middle of the album you have these kind of shorter riffs that really work, and I think No Big Bang is probably my favorite with this more spoken word.
That song is awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's listen to some of it. Let's listen to some No Big Bang. So we've got some spoken word meets some punk.
Yeah.
We've got a sick bass line in there. It's got it all.
Got it.
But all right, it's No Big Bang from Priests. The album is called, what is it called?
Nothing Feels Natural.
Is what that album is called. All right, let's do it.
Your skull, all of a sudden, all this science and evolution and progress. I mean, sure, it looks good from a distance.
That was Priest. Now let's talk about an album that Jason loves. It's the XXICU.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I love this album so much. This came out in like the first week of January, so mm-hmm. I've had like all year to enjoy it. I really didn't expect to care this much about a new XX album. Like the first album's like, I do consider it like a classic in terms of that kind of like late 2000s indie rock.
Yeah.
The second album was basically their Room on Fire in the sense of that they were like, let's do this first album again. And the third album, you know, where a lot of bands struggle to figure out their next move. This album, and Joe chastised me last week when I said it's their best album, and I do believe that this album is their best album. It's definitely the most full, well-rounded XX album, and more than anything, the thing that really gets me about this album is that I think that they have really figured out how to handle the interplay between Oliver and Romy's vocals. Like,
mm-hmm.
you have these songs in the first two albums by the XX where they're, you know, they almost feel like they don't need both vocals. It's a cool effect, and I think they're both great vocalists, but like with this third album, every song kind of plays out almost like a dialogue where they're mm-hmm. they're informing each other, they're reacting to each other, and it's just like, it always really gets me, like, and you know, we can talk about like the production and how it's definitely, you know, more colorful, and I think that is a big part of why this album is so successful. But to me, their interplay is really where this excels. Like a song like I Dare You, which is one of my favorites of the year, it's just like there's such balance between their points of view, and there's so much care taken into those points of view. Like it's just like they're doing something that really no other band is doing, and yeah, it's one of my favorites of the year.
Yeah, I mean, well, to chime in, you are crazy, because the first album I think is just a masterpiece.
I agree,
and I do not think this reaches masterpiece level, but I do love it. And also, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I think similar to, I like the Room on Fire comparison, because I felt the second album, much like I felt with the second Strokes album, and I know a lot of people disagree with this, but it just seemed a little bit like more of the same, and it kind of made me think, like, do they have much more to offer beyond what we've already heard from them? And this proves that they absolutely do. Like, this is such a, like, a colorful, explosive growth of their sound. Like, it definitely is XX, but there's a little more dance elements to it. It's lovely, but it's also upbeat, but it can still be melancholy. Like, it's just it jumps all over the place. And I enjoyed very much.
Lindsay, you also don't think it's their best?
No, that's fine. Their first far better, but this is a great album. I've had to listen to it a lot just because of my roommate and her fandom for
Alexa's
the XX.
A fan?
Oh, huge fan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You guys can
we'll
talk
bond.
About that.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But the one thing that did stick out to me, the song On Hold, I thought that was cool because that's where you really see Jamie XX, like his dance music stamp is really clear on that song. And I loved his solo album, so that song is probably my favorite.
Great song.
Yeah. Other than that, not too much to add.
Well, Jason, which song should we listen to on it?
Let's listen to On Hold.
It's a great song. Let's do it. So the XX ICU song is called On Hold.
When and where did we go cold? I thought I had you on hold. I thought I had on hold. I thought I had you on hold.
All right, so those were the albums that we loved. Now we're going to talk about albums that we loved that we thought were underappreciated for this year. I'm going to go with mine first. It's Gabriel Garzon Montano. The album's called Jardin. We talked about one of his songs earlier this year on the podcast. I just think this is unfortunately one of those albums that got slept on for whatever reason. A lot of people I know who are like professional musicians are big fans of him and are really, just think he's, you know, like, I don't know about the future of music, but they feel like he's one of those like immense talents that emerged this year. But for whatever reason, it just the lamestream media didn't catch on so much. The album is just this really interesting combination of kind of like contemporary R&B, syncopated jazz, Baroque pop. And it's very like, it's a little navel-gazing, admittedly, but there's a lot of beauty to it, a lot of sonic clarity and kind of like oral space. It's not a cluttered arrangement, and he just has a pretty remarkable voice too. I know Lindsay, you became a fan of this one too, right?
Yes, I'm a huge fan. I think we talked about Sour Mango on the podcast, which is my favorite off the album.
That song is beautiful.
Yeah, and I think we talked too. I saw him live a few weeks ago, and that just like really solidified my appreciation for this album. And I totally see what you're saying. Like, he is an artist in, you know, every sense of the word. Like, what he does on stage is really incredible. He sings in Spanish a lot. He sort of, you know, flows in and out. There's like a very cohesive element to his set between, you know, I'm not sure what other work he has besides this album, but yeah, this definitely stands out to me, and I'm glad you brought it up because it for sure got forgotten throughout the year.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Got any thoughts, J-Lips?
The correct pronunciation is, I believe, Hardeen.
Ah, well, thank you for, correcting
Spanish
me.
Pronunciation
major over here.
Shaming, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good shaming. Anyways, well, let's listen to something from it. Let's listen to Sour Mango, since we talked about that, and it is a highlight. So it's Gabriel Garzon Montano, Hardeen is the album, and Sour Mango is the song that we are going to listen to. All right, let's talk about Lindsay, your pick for album that you thought should have been bigger. You have Corbin Mourn.
Oh, yeah,
Corbin,
I do.
Being Spooky Black's alter ego or main
new
ego.
It's actually, it's
ego?
His true ego. His real name is Corbin.
Wow.
So Spooky Black was his alter ego. This is a return to the roots, if you will.
Okay.
This album is, I cannot get enough of this album. I wish everyone would listen to it. I think everyone should have a good cry to it. It blows my mind that this 19-year-old from Minnesota, where you, our dear friend, is calling in from, he's like the most emotional songwriter and performer ever. Like, when you consider his age and what he's thinking about and what he's talking about so openly and the way that he does his production, like, all of it's just crazy to me. But to hear, like, you actually hear the pain in his voice, and I keep going back to his age, but it's just because, like, holy crap, if I ever in my life feel something that strongly, like, that's amazing. I don't know what he went through, I don't know what happened, but the fact that he could, you know, chronicle it onto this really incredible album is, I think, really special. And every song sounds a little bit different. It doesn't feel tired or doesn't like lag ever, but you do have to be kind of okay that he doesn't have the most beautiful voice, but you know, sometimes the production masks it, or sometimes like when he is sort of growling or grunting, like, it works in that way. But yeah, I'm a big fan.
There's a long history of Minnesota geniuses with rough voices. We've got Bob Dylan.
This is true.
Corbin.
Joe Lynch. Yeah.
There's just a lot of people, you know, from that state who maybe don't have the perfect voice, but their song craft is incredible.
Exactly, and that's what I appreciate.
Yeah, exactly. And he's from St. Paul, which is where I'm from and where I'm calling in from right now for those listening. I'm already back home for the holidays, and I am calling in via the wonders of technology to this podcast. And it's very cold here, as you would expect. But Jason, do you have any spooky Black/Corbin thoughts?
You know, I have to listen to this full album again, but I, you know, definitely like enjoyed what I heard in terms of his voice and how original the new songs are. I enjoyed like Spooky Black, even though that's a ridiculous name. I guess like he's definitely leveled up in terms of performer moniker. I need to dig into these songs a little bit more, but I like what I've heard.
All right. Well, what should we listen to? Should we listen to Ice Boy?
Sure.
Or which one do you want to listen to, Lindsay?
I was going to go with All Out.
Let's do it. Let's go all out.
Let's go all out.
All right. Corbin, album is Mourn, song is All Out. All right, that was Lindsay's pick for underappreciated LPs. Next up, let's talk about Jason's, which is Stormzy, Prayer. Another one that we talked about earlier this year on the podcast. So Jason, you're still repping hard for Stormzy.
Well, you know, I just wanted to say that I have not seen this album on any year-end list, and it's definitely in my top 10. I love this album. I think it's such a great rap album. Like, I think that it's... You know, it has these kind of these really hard charging anthems. I think like Big for Your Boots is one of the best rap singles of the year. I love Cold. I love like it's but then he also pulls back and has these really sensitive songs. I love the duet with Kehlani. Like I just think that this is an awesome album. Like it's a great debut. He's really funny on it. It's just like a really strong rap album. And when you mentioned like underrated, this is the one I came to because, you know, I love a lot. This isn't my favorite album of the year, but to see it completely snubbed from kind of like the year end wrap up, I was pretty bummed about that. Like people should like discover this album and enjoy it. Like even if you just listen to like Big for Your Boots on Spotify and just try it out, like it's definitely like such a fun single. He talks about like, you know, not being ashamed to like go nuts at an Adele concert. Like that's great. Like that's all I really want from British rap. So yeah, Stormzy, love it.
Lindsay, do you have Stormzy thoughts?
Not many. I saw him at Lollapalooza. And I only checked him out because I know that you're a fan.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, he's a good performer. Like everything he puts into his album just comes out even more when he's on stage.
Yeah.
It was super fun. He's incredibly charismatic. Like you get the sense that he just, you know, he's like doing this for himself. Like that lyric is the perfect example of that. So it's cool that it resonated with you.
Wow. I appreciate you being like, well, Jason really likes this. Yeah. I guess I'll check him out. But
yeah, he's cool. I just never got into him.
I would say when we talked about it earlier this year, I was maybe not super sold on it, but having heard it a bit more, especially having heard Big for Your Boots and seen some live performances from him, I think you're onto something with this Stormzy. Like I have to say, I'm sold. He is very, very talented and a great performer.
The storm is coming.
Well, he's a big deal in the UK. He's performing at the Brit Awards in a little bit. Yep. So. Not just me, guys. Not just me.
Not just Jason. All right, well, what do you want to listen to from the album?
Let's just listen to Big for Your Boots.
Let's listen to Big for Your Boots. So it's Stormzy, Gang Signs and Prayer, and this is Jason's pick for one of the most underrated albums of the year. Man, know that I kick up to you. Them way there try to suck the truth. How dare you to suck the truth? Look, I'm too hot. Drug money in my shoebox. I'm the man of the house when my show sold out like the brother from the Boondocks. Boots swan on my boombox. Still meat from the stew pot. Man, I'm going sick on my tune drops. Little man, that's a who blow, not a who blow. What?
pronounce it right, you prick. I go magic, I'm down to die for this. I don't care, bro, I'm down to pipe your chick.
All right, let's talk about next up songs that were hits this year, as in the top 20 of the Billboard Hot 100 that we also personally loved. So let's keep it on Lipschitz. Jason, you picked Niall Horan's Slow Hands.
Oh, I totally forgot what I picked for this, but okay.
It's a great pick, though.
Yeah, what a great song. Like, I don't even really know what to say about this song, except that, like, it's like, so fun to sing along to. Like, it's a great karaoke song. It's, like, surprisingly sexy for a Niall Horan song. Mm-hmm. It's
but
just,
not like gross sexy. It's not like strip that down. Like,
yeah.
Nasty.
I like the little like the woo sound effect.
Yeah, I like that.
That punctuates every chorus. Great guitar melody. Like what can you really say about this song? It's just a blast. Like it's just, you know, in the same way that like his first single, This Town, was just like, you know, like very like singer-songwriter, a little bit sleepy. He just kind of came back with this one and it's so much fun. Slow Hands. Maybe not as good as the Interpol Slow Hands, but close enough.
Yeah, this song has grown on me.
Yeah, I'd say I'm just like, for this being Niall, I'm shocked like how much I love this song. Like, I don't think anyone was expecting, like, no offense to Niall, but like to like have a legit career after 1D. Like,
I would take offense if I was Niall.
Yeah.
And I heard that,
Niall, I would take offense too. But no, seriously, I was always a big Niall supporter, but I just had a hard time picturing him as a like top 10 Billboard artist. But after this, like, I absolutely don't. Like, this is such a like winning, like repeatable, like repeat listen worthy song, like well constructed, but also kind of like easygoing in a way that you could just like hear it over and over and you don't get sick of it. His vocals are great. The instrumentation is great. Like, it's a total win in a way that, like, I think no one, or at least I was not expecting.
There you go.
But Lindsay, are you on the Slow Hands train?
Yeah, I mean, it is a slow train for me. It took a very long time for me to even like this song. I still don't love it.
Oh,
I agree. It's definitely catchy, the little woo, and the guitar. I'm a fan of elements of it, but I honestly think the biggest holdup for me is the title and the fact that he's, you know, like, Slow Hands. That just doesn't really, it's like a red light for me. I hear that, I'm just like, what? Niall Horan singing about slow hands? And I haven't been able to move past that.
Well.
But that's just me personally. Clearly the song has gone on to do great
things. I will say, it's a, for those listening at home, it's really fun to sing Slow Hands, but instead of Slow Hands, just sing Joe Lynch, which I've been
doing. I like
doing
that version better.
Office. Yeah.
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 That is my favorite version, definitely. Yeah.
Agreed, completely.
Yeah, and that version actually did enter the Hot 100. So
yeah,
wasn't,
yeah, the Joe Lynch remix.
97.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep, I'll take it. All right, well, let's listen to it. Niall Horan's Slow Hands. This is Jason's pick for one of his favorite pop hits of the year. Yeah, I already know that there ain't no stopping your plans and those slow hands. Fingertips putting on a show. Got me now and I can't say no. Wanna be with you all alone. Take me home, take me home. Fingertips putting on. So that was Jason's pick. This is my pick for a song that I love that was a big hit this year. I'm going with Camila Cabello's Havana. And kind of similar to Niall, I mean, like, I thought Camila would have probably a good solo career, but I was not expecting her to get such a big hit so fast. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a testament to how incredible the song Havana is. It's kind of like what we were saying with, or what I was saying with Niall, is it's like, it is catchy and very enjoyable. But it's also just one of those songs that you can hear over and over and you don't get sick of it immediately, which is something, it's just, I think that's an important like pop hit thing. It's like, it's not going to be a hit for 3 weeks and then you get sick of hearing that hook over and over. Like, this is something that you could hear bubbling in the top 20 or top 40 for a year. And because it's not so in your face, you still enjoy it every time it re-enters your life. You know, I do think that the piano riff is suspiciously similar to Selena Gomez's Same Old Love. That being said, it was a great piano riff. Camilla's vocals are wonderful and subdued in a sultry way. And the Cuban flavor she gives to the song, like, really adds that, like, extra oomph that I think kind of made it connect with people more than Selena's Same Old Love. And, yeah, and it's also just, you know, like, it's a total testament to her that it's just been a year since she left 5H. And now she's basically, like, she's best known for Havana and not being a former Fifth Harmony member.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think? I know you're a fan, Jason.
Yeah, I like Havana. I was surprised that Crying in the Club didn't do better. I like that song, too. It was very, I mean, it's co-written by Sia. It sounds like a Sia song.
Yeah.
Yeah, Havana's cool. I mean, I think that it's, I'm not quite as high on it as you might expect. I wish it was, there were a couple more elements of it. It just kind of seems like the, like a chorus and a bridge and a chorus and a bridge, like, continually. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm cool with it. It's definitely a jam. I like that Young Thug has, like, a top 10 hit now. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What about you, Linz?
I really like this song a lot. I was not a fan of the first few songs she put out as a solo artist, so I was quick to write her off. But cheesy as it may sound,
you're,
I really
done,
feel
Camilla.
I really feel like this is just, this sort of speaks volumes to, like, you know, she did something that she wanted to do as a solo artist. This speaks to who she is. You know, it's about where she's from and her upbringing, and that's the song that ended up doing the best for her. So I think that's, yeah, a little interesting. You know, like, she didn't work with Sia, and she wasn't using Christina Aguilera's, what song was that?
Genie in a Bottle.
Yeah, you know, she was doing something totally her own, and that ended up being her highest charting hit. So I think that's pretty cool. And yeah. I love nothing more than how they just, you know, like, it seems like they reworked their entire game plan about her solo debut after this song.
Totally.
They're like, we're going to call it Camila, and we're not going to call it The Hurting, The Healing, The Loving.
We got to appeal to Lindsay. She almost wrote her off.
They just went for, really, like, a whole new look.
That was, like, the dumbest album name.
No kidding.
Oh, no, I loved it. I'm all about wacky album names. Give me more wacky album names. You know what my favorite, very quickly, I meant to talk to you about this recently. I was thinking about the fact that, do you remember how Jennifer Lopez had an album called Love with a question mark?
I do, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's such a wacky Love? Such a such a wacky album name. So I'm a little disappointed about the Camila change-up, but I'll live with it.
Can't please everyone. All right. Well, let's listen to it. It's Camila Cabello featuring Young Thug. His song is Havana, and it's on her self-titled debut, which is coming out very soon. I believe second week of January?
I think the 12th,
right?
Yeah.
The 12th.
Cool. All right, well, let's listen to Havana, which you assuredly have heard many times before, but we are going to play it for you again anyway.
This is history and I'm making home me. Point blank, close range, that feed. If it goes a million, that's me. It's me. I was getting moolah, baby.
Havana, ooh, nah, nah. Hey. Half of my heart is in Havana, ooh, nah, nah. Hey. He took me back to East Atlanta, nah, nah, nah.
Oh, no.
All of my heart is in Havana. My heart is in Havana. Havana.
All right, so we have Lindsay's pick for her, one of her favorite pop hits of the year. You went with Halsey, Bad at Love.
Yes, I did.
So why don't you tell us about your Hopeless Fountain kingdom?
I love this album as a whole so much. But this song in particular, I don't know. I think it's really great to just see Halsey, you know, like, scream over and over again that she's bad at love, and then, like, very openly recount, like, basically proving why she is. And she's like, yeah, like, I've had very bad luck, but it's because of me. And I think that's cool to hear in a song, and it's catchy. I love the music video for it. I don't know. There's not much else I could say. It stuck with me for many months.
Well, there you go.
That's kind of similar to what you were saying with SZA, though. So you like SZA, like, admitting her life is fucked up. You like Halsey admitting she's terrible.
Yeah, what's going on, Lindsay? You okay?
You're sensing a common theme.
Corbin's not doing too well.
Corbin's not doing great. Yeah.
I like musicians that are in rough spots, you could say. Yeah. Just super relatable, you
goodness gracious.
I actually didn't think about that, but yeah, there are similarities between Halsey's album and SZA's, And I did come up with that. Like, I came across that when I was writing about both of them for the year-end list, because I was like, I need to make this different. But, like, you know, they're both super honest about who they are, and I think that's why their music's doing really well, because it's the type of thing where you can listen to it and, like, relate without having to say it yourself. So I think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I will say I'm, like, when I saw Halsey when she was on the come up, and I thought she was good, but I thought New Americana was so hokey.
Yeah,
but
I didn't like that album.
But this album is really solid. You know, despite starting off with a Romeo and Juliet reading,
right,
which is a little much.
Does that really happen on this album? Yeah. No way, really?
Yep. That's how it opens.
I did not know that.
Sets the tone perfectly.
That's hilarious.
It's extra. But no, it's really like solid, like alt R&B. And she has a great voice. And yeah, I agree, like Bad at Love is just a really, like, I'm glad that it's becoming like a big hit. Mm-hmm. You know, even like how much longer after the release this is. When did that come out? Like March or something?
June. I can't remember. Oh, okay. June.
Anyways, yeah, no, I'm on board with this. I like the song a lot.
Yeah.
Jason, Halsey, thoughts?
Yeah, I like this song. I heard it for the first time. Yeah, clearly I have not entered the Hopeless Fountain Kingdom too often. But I heard it for the first time maybe like 2 months ago, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a big hit. It sounds like a big hit. I will say, it gets stuck in my head, and I'll be like at home singing Bad at Love. And like my wife will just be like, what is going on? I'm just like walking
like,
around our house.
Good at love, Jason.
Yeah. But honey, you're good at love. I know. But yeah, it gets stuck in your head. So
yeah,
you know, it's problematic for my marriage, but good for, you know, pop
good
music.
For humanity.
Yeah, good for humanity.
Good for Lindsay. Yeah,
totally.
So it's a draw. All right, well, let's listen to it. Halsey, song is Bad at Love, and let's listen to it.
I know that you're afraid I'm gonna walk away. It's time to feel and face. It's time to feel and face. I know that you're afraid I'm gonna walk away. It's time to feel and face. You know I'm bad at love, but you can't blame me for trying.
Now we get into the fourth and final section of this podcast, where we're going to talk about each song that we loved that we wish would have been a bigger hit. So let's keep it with Lindsay. So
right.
Lindsay, you went with Lord's Liability.
Yes,
from
I
her
did.
Melodrama album.
Another depressed.
I swear, yeah, I'm very happy, yeah. You guys. It's been a good year.
This podcast is a cry for help, some would say.
This is a cry for help podcast. Yeah.
The saddest song on Melodrama, but go on.
Well, yeah, that's
this
why
is
I wish.
The most depressing song.
By far.
Do you just like to listen to people who are worse off than you and be like,
oh, it's like Schadenfreude.
That's exactly it. It's like, I'm so happy. I just want to listen to people who are really down. Yep. Yeah. You're really exposing the truth here.
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Thank you. This is really a therapy session, if anything else. But yes, I think this song is really beautiful. And I think oftentimes, you know, really sad songs like this that don't have much of a beat or a driving element to them, they do sort of get forgotten. But
yeah,
I just think this is really beautiful. You know, it's just about how at the end of the day, like, she's going to go home to herself. And that's cool. And I think I was thinking about this song a lot, and I kind of can see a comparison to Love Song by Sarah Bareilles, not in terms of how it sounds, but how, like, what they're talking about. Basically, Sarah Bareilles was like, they told me to write a love song. I don't want to write a love song. I'm going to talk about it in a song. Here's Lord being like, they say I'm too much for them, so I'm going to talk about how you think I'm too much and that I'm a liability. It's like exposing,
yeah,
like, a little bit of the inside of what it's like to be an artist and have people telling you what they want from you. So I just think that it was cool that she addressed it that way.
That's a very good point. Jason, I know you're a big Lord supporter.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Lord head, I guess. I don't know. yeah, no, Liability's great. I mean, one of my favorite experiences in terms of music this year was I was lucky enough to, before Lord announced her album, there was a Grammy week, like, studio thing where she unveiled Greenlight and Liability, and I just was like blown away by both of them. I love Greenlight. It's one of my favorite singles of the year, but Liability really, I think that Lorde's like one of the most capable and confident songwriters in pop, and like that's such a testament to it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I pretty much disagree with you guys said. I mean, this is such a beautiful, honest, confessional piano ballad. I mean, I can see why it didn't become a huge hit, because it's not like there's not a lot on radio that sounds like this. But this is definitely one of those songs that if, you know, people who maybe didn't listen to the album and only heard Green Light, like this is, I would say this and Louvre are the ones, like, it's kind of like you have to hear. But yeah, so let's listen to it. Lorde, Liability. This is Lindsay's depressing pick for the Benefigger hit in 2017.
I am a toy that people enjoy till all of the tricks don't work anymore. And then they are bored of me. I know that it's exciting running through the night, but every perfect summer's eating me alive until you're gone. Better on my own, they say.
You're a little. All right, that was Lindsay's pick. Let's do Jason's pick. So, Jason, you went with Paramore, Hard Times.
Yeah, look at that. I sort of dissed Paramore early in the podcast. You know what's funny is I don't love After Laughter as much as other people do. Pain. But I love the first single. Hard Times is I wish this had been a big hit. I think it's like, you know, a lot of people make Talking Heads comparisons. I definitely hear that. And you know, it wasn't out of the realm of possibility that this was a big hit, because like Aidan Fun was a crossover hit for Paramore before this.
Totally.
Hard Times totally gets stuck in your head and sound it makes sense on pop radio. It didn't make it there, but just a great single. And it, you know, listening to this song now, it really does like kind of represent 2017 and how a lot of people are feeling, I feel like, in the sense of like, just like, man, stuff is terrible right now and it sucks, and like, how do I dig a hole and just like wait it out? Like, that's just the point of the song. And I feel that, like, this kind of like defeated attitude of just like, yeah, we got to make it through this, but like, let's whine a little bit, like, this sucks, and
yeah,
I wish we could escape it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I didn't love the album, but I think this song, it just picks like some really under, like, so much of the 80s has been mined and remined for music, but like this kind of like, you know, it's kind of like that Tarzan song from the 80s, and I can't think of who sings it, but like just that really like goofy, like faux tropical 80s sound, which is extremely fun. And I was so glad to, like, that's what Hard Times is, but you know, the music is in direct opposition to, you know, the more like serious lyrical content, which I love. It's just a really solid like pop single. I was hoping it would be a bigger like rock hit, but sadly did not. But Lindsay, what are your thoughts on this one?
Oh, wow, that was very Joe Lynch-esque.
I really like this song. I listened to it a lot when it first came out, because it does get stuck in your head, you know, pretty much for all the reasons you two said. But then I stopped listening somewhere along the way.
Wasn't sad enough for you.
Yeah, it was too it was too upbeat, I think, is where the problem really was. But yeah, I think it's a good one to bring up now. I was not a fan of the album, but I agree that this song itself should have and could have been bigger.
Yeah. Well, I like that we've all concluded that Billboard's top number one rock album for the year, we're all like, not so great. This is a list that we pretty much all contributed to, by the way. Yeah. So.
I did not. So I can I can diss it however I want.
I totally did.
Yeah. All right, well, let's listen to it. It's Paramore, Hard Times, should have been a bigger hit, says Billboard's own Jason Lipchuk.
I'm coming down.
All right, next and last, and I kind of, so this is my pick for should have been a bigger hit in 2017. I'll admit, I sort of picked this half to troll, but I do actually love this song. The one I picked is Katy Perry's Swish Swish.
Oh, right. Oh, right. A good That's ending song. All right.
And I just, here's the thing. The first time I heard it, I thought it was absolutely ridiculous in a way that I didn't really appreciate. But after I kind of got this sense that, like, this is a very, like, tongue firmly in cheek, Katy Perry embracing her goofy side, once I got that in my head, I just love it. Like, it's so much fun, and the lyrics are so quotable. It's just, like, and I hear it in bars all the time. I've seen drag queens do it probably every other week this entire year. It's just, it's so much fun. And the music video is stupid, but the song itself is just, like, I would say more than any song in 2017, various parts of Swish Swish have been playing in my head over and over, whether I like it or not. So this is my pick for I wish this would have maybe scraped the top 10, you know? Not number one, but just gotten higher than it did.
No chance.
But what do you guys think? I'm guessing Lindsay. Not similar thoughts. Lindsay, what do you think?
Nope. this song never did it for me. Never became a fan of Witness. I like this song more than Bon Appetit. I will say that. I just can't get behind it. Like, yes, it's catchy, but it's too goofy and too strange for me in a way that, I don't know, like, sure, it might be tongue-in-cheek, but I also think part of her is serious.
That's also possible.
Like, she's just trying to be, like, don't mess with me.
Yeah.
It's like, you're Katy Perry. You know, like, you used to be fun and bubbly and...
Yeah.
Now you're talking smack on the court, but I don't know. I'm going to end
there. You sound very natural saying that.
Yeah. Talking smack on the court with Lindsay Havens. So obviously Bon Appetit is a better song than Swish Swish. I know you guys will disagree.
Uh-huh.
I do disagree.
But that, to me, Bon Appetit is exactly what you're talking about in terms of like goofiness and like silly double entendres. Like Swish Swish is like, it doesn't even make sense really. Like
it barely makes sense.
Yeah, no.
It's just like, I mean, I will say that Old Coupon Expired is my favorite verbal takedown of the year. Like, like, oh, I could curse here, but I'm going to call you an old coupon expired instead. I mean, there's, as someone who prides himself on embracing goofy pop, this was a bridge too far for me. I could not get there.
Is it the idea that karma is holding on to receipts that doesn't do it for you?
She keeps receipts. I mean, I just would like, this is just like a painful song. Like, yeah. To me, it's like I'm a pretty big Katy Perry fan in the sense that like, yeah. I think she's like one of the better like pop performers in terms of her live show.
Totally.
I think that Prism was like uneven, but at the same time, like I had unconditionally performed at my wedding ceremony. So like how uneven could it really be?
By Katy Perry?
Not by Katy Perry. I wish. Can you imagine?
I can.
But like, but I will not. I mean, you guys haven't gotten married yet, so maybe you guys can have Swish Swish. Joe, maybe you can have Swish Swish at your wedding ceremony.
Strong chance that'll happen. First dance.
I'll do the Nicki verse. How about that?
Perfect.
But this song can stay in 2017.
All right. Well, agree to disagree. The last thing I'll say about it is I do love that this song is so braggadocious, and it's so much about, like, I'm great and you're not, and then it just kind of, like, stalled on the Hot 100. Like, that just almost makes me love it more. Like,
such a struggle song, man.
Perspective. Fair. This is fair. Anyways, so let's listen to it. Katy Perry featuring Nicki Minaj, Swish Swish from the... I would say it's slightly underrated Witness. I'm just gonna go that far.
Come on, man.
It's debatable.
It's not great, but it's not as bad as everyone says. Anyways, let's listen to it. Swish, swish.
Just
All right, that was my pick for Should Have Been a Bigger Hit in 2017. That will probably get me roasted on Twitter, and probably correctly. Please, if you're listening, tweet us either what you thought should have been a bigger hit this year or what you thought was an underrated album this year. Love to know your thoughts. And we will catch you in 2018 when we've got some new Camila Cabello coming.
Oh, yeah.
What else is coming up in January? Do we know?
There's a couple cool things coming up that I'm blanking on wholly. But, yeah, I'm pumped. Pumped for that Camila, right. I guess. But,
yeah. Do that.
Yeah, there's some stuff that I'm
Fallout Boy, right?
Fallout Boy. Yeah, I don't know. What else?
The band that never quits.
Yeah. Truly.
We'll talk about it all. What a great year for the Must Hear Music podcast, guys.
Really was.
Yeah. It was. It was very fun. Well, and Jason and Lindsay, thank you as always. Thank you for bearing with me on a FaceTime call in.
I might like it better.
Yeah, Ken, even when you're in the office, you should just do FaceTime.
But yeah, everyone listening, thank you so much for listening. Have good holidays. Have a wonderful new year. And we will catch you in 2018, which hopefully will be a better year for us all.
Oh.
So catch you later.
All
Bye.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.